Australian True Crime is an independent podcast. If you help us, we can continue creating and improving our content. That's our promise to you. To support us, simply hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This will help us grow and ensure you're notified as soon as a new episode is released.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Please be advised this podcast contains content of a graphic, violent nature. It's not appropriate for children.
Which looked like the most spectacular nightclub, like I was somewhere really fancy in Vegas, and I was on these stairs and had gold trimmings like this, and the railing was gold and the stairs had gold trimming, and I was standing at the top with my big blonde hair and a big mini, little mini pink dress on, but big stiletto pink pumps, and I looked exactly like Donna. And that's how I dressed before and looked before. And I swear that, because you're so like drugged up from all the medication, and I swear that dream seems so, so real. And I dream that every night, and this is no joke. Every day I'd wake up and I forgot that I was burnt, and I'd wake up to realize that I was actually living a nightmare. I've never even dreamed anything so horrific or seen anything so bad as I have lived. And I wake up and realize that I was living a nightmare, and I'd genuinely forgot every day that I woke up and I was burnt, and that was fucked, and I used to wake up crying all the time. Other than that, and a few other occasions, I never cried, and when I did cry, my sister would go, hey, you've got 5 minutes to cry and that's it.
Dana Vulin has every reason to cry. She awoke from a nap on her couch one evening to find two strangers in her home. A bizarre, incoherent argument followed, and then they set her on fire.
This is Australian True Crime with Michelle Laurie and Emily Webb. Come with us as we go beyond the news cycle to find out how people become killers, how people become victims, and what happens next.
Dana has always been a high achiever, but her survival to this point is nothing less than miraculous. She speaks quickly and definitely, and it creates the impression that she means to make up for a lot of lost time, now that she has some independence back in her life.
I spent the last 5 and a bit years literally in the hospital system. Like, I just got checked out as an outpatient after 4 years and 8 months. And so I literally nearly went to hospital every day, and recovery and treatments. And I had no life, I did nothing. So it was kind of like there was nothing that was... nothing that was similar to my old life, my physicality, my insides, and the actual life that I was living. But now, as I'm taking a year off and I've just started getting back into my life and like looking like Dana again and feeling like Dana and my functionality, I'm starting to kind of relate, but I'm starting to kind of have like an idea of having an actual life again. Like I'm remembering what it's like to be like semi-normal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, definitely a huge disconnect though. And on top of that, just under 2 years into my burn, I got cancer as well.
Did you?
Yeah, at 27.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Where are you at with that right now?
Well, because of my extreme like situation, I'm supposed to be having 1 year checkups, but it's been 2.5 years or nearly 3 years since I've had it. And I had 5 operations for it and still have 3 month checkups.
Okay.
So it's not at 1 year just because my circumstances.
Yes.
So my body's just, who knows what my body's doing, but yeah.
Your body has been through a lot.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
But what was your life before pre-burn?
You know, I mean, I guess I was burnt at 25, so I studied 2 degrees at uni,
mm-hmm.
but I was definitely like a young, wild, vivacious blonde.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a character, so I had a full life and I had fun and just, I guess I'd say a normal person's life, but more Dana.
But more Dana.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What were your plans at 25? What was your dream? What were you working towards?
I was doing strategic management. So, I mean, I guess it wasn't my dream, but I did my uni, I was working, but my dream was just to live. Like at 25, you don't really have a dream set in concrete. You just wanted to live and travel and just like love life.
Yeah. I mean, you're still just sort of getting your head around being an adult, aren't you? And
yes. And I like, technically I always say, because I was burnt at 25, I'm 31 now. I lost half my 20s and I'm just getting back into my life. So technically I say I'm 25.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a loophole there.
Yeah, I like it. You're picking up again.
Yeah.
So were you in a relationship at 25?
No, I've been single for 8.5 years. I like being single. And especially I spent the first 3 years nearly in a mask and garment and like 4 years fully recovering. And I was celibate. I didn't even kiss a guy or anything for so long. And I was basically a nun. So I think now that it's been like the last year and a half, I'm just making up for lost time and having a wild, odd, good time.
In your book, which I have in my hands, Worth Fighting For, we get up to chapter 4, The Attack. Would you mind telling the story?
Not.
It doesn't, it's okay?
No, it doesn't. You know,
It doesn't trigger you?
I live it every day. Like, okay. It's like if you took, I took my clothes off, it's there every day. I'm still having treatments. I'm still having, you know, dad hates that.
Because you took your clothes off for the cover of your book.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what this book is all about, is just you showing us what happened to you. And it's incredibly powerful and moving. Some of the photos you've included, I don't think, and people often say to me, oh, you're so honest, you're so out there. But this is incredible. This is next level, honestly.
Well, I wanted to show more, but they were like, people won't read it because the extreme graphics in there.
Really?
So, yeah.
So what happened on the night of the attack?
Okay, so on New Year's Eve 2011 going into 2012, I just met this guy at the casino as I was cashing in my chips, as you do. And it was just one of those conversations. It was nothing. I thought it was nothing, but it turned out to change my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him for about 20 minutes and that's it. We never exchanged phone numbers. I never talked to him again, never saw him again, nothing. And then on Australia Day, I started getting like really bad like stalker calls from this woman, and she was just telling me she's going to ruin my pretty little face, she's going to murder me, like really crazy, heinous stuff, like but with vile, you know. It wasn't, I mean, although what she said was so bad, but it was like the way she was saying it. I mean, I didn't know her and I didn't know the guy, so it was kind of one of those things that I brushed off, and I never really dealt with anything like that before. And
how
I think
bizarre. How did she know that you'd chatted even? Or
I do not know, but what I have found out leading up since, and you'll read in the book, is that she was on bail for stabbing him while she did this to me, and she was also doing the same thing to 3 other women at the same time. So it wasn't it was like she was just fixated on anything and her. I don't know. I don't even know what she was thinking. How do you know what someone like that thinks? It's like, it's not logical.
No.
And so, yeah, I'd been getting stalked for like 6 weeks by call and everything, like just crazy abuse. And then on the morning of February 16th, I had fallen asleep on my couch. And, I woke up to her in my apartment. and another guy, and basically we were just getting into a verbal altercation, and she tasked me in methylated spirits and set me on fire. And I remember they watched me burn alive and laughed, and then they fled through the back, leaving me to die. But and I stopped, dropped and rolled, which is probably the worst thing I could have ever done, because it sounds so stupid, because I should have known. I really should have known.
I wouldn't have known. I didn't know until I read it in your book that that's not what you should do.
No, well, in WA especially, we have this guy called Constable Care that comes to your school. It's like Fat Cat, but a policeman. and he teaches you about fire safety, and everyone learns stop, drop and roll. And it's just like my instant, like survival instinct kicked in, and I was just like stop, drop, roll. And I got up and I was 10 times worse on fire. I was like literally, have you ever seen Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
I literally look like that guy. And all I could see was flames. It was just flames everywhere. And I was screaming so, so loud at I lived in a high-rise building, and the guy who was in the whole other high-rise building next door in the gym heard me screaming, and I came over to my building and was just, like, my door was open because I had opened my door screaming for help, and he was like, you know, he was such, I just remember him being so calm. And I was awake and conscious the whole time I was burning alive, and he was like, my name's Dennis Erickson, so yeah, let's get you in the shower. And I said the stupidest thing. I was like, are you sure I heard that you're going to blister, like you could, like not even realizing the extent of how fucked.
Oh, you can swear that.
Yeah, how fucked my life was going to be. And I was in the shower and the water was on me and it was cool and it wasn't on high pressure or anything like that. But every drop, like, was like this. Every drop on my hands and face felt like acid eating into me. I was getting rid of my hands, my face, and the pain was so bad. And then when the ambulance got there, I was like, knock me out, knock me out. And then, you know, sometimes people say to me, gosh, you know, when I burn myself in the hair straightener or the like oven or iron, like I could imagine your pain. I'm like, well, A, you can't because it's a full thickness burns, but B, that pain, as bad as I thought that pain was, it was just no shit. It was a tickle in comparison to what was coming. Like every day, all day was a trillion, thousand, million, gazillion, there's not even a word for it, times worse pain than it was actually being burnt alive, like because a burn is essentially just damaged nerves, so your nerves are all exposed, and it hurts so bad. And because they've I'm burnt waist up all the way around, and they've taken my leg five times. They grafted it for the skin to graft my body, and my left leg four. So then you've got all your exposed nerves on your legs as well. Mm-hmm. And then the grafts are sore, and they've taken my groin for my neck to graft my neck, my hips and my armpits, and they've shaved my entire face to graft my skull. I'm like modern day Frankenstein. So, and there's like, there's all that pain. And then there's like that next level pain, which is like, you know, the damage on your mind, the havoc it wreaks on your mind and body. It's just, yeah.
There's one of the photos in the middle of the book here, just things you don't think of. There's you crying your heart out holding your nephew.
Do you know, that is the hardest photo out of everything. I am going to get like a bit.
Yeah.
I didn't want to look at it for me to look at because I am a public speaker by trade, so I often share my journey and show my stories and really graphic photos, and people just were shaking their heads like, wow, how do you feel when you look at that? I'm like, that doesn't faze me at all. Like, I am fine looking at that because, I mean, I lived it and I'm still living it every day. It's there. But looking at the photo of me holding my nephew, and it's not that I'm holding my nephew, it's that he's leaning on me and I'm sitting up and I can't actually grab him, and I can't feel his skin. He's just leaning on me, and I'm desperate to hold him and touch him, and it's the broken in my face because my family is my world, and the rest of the photos, as gruesome as they are, that is the hardest photo for me to look at because I am genuinely broken in that photo. My soul is shattered to the core, but it's also one of those defining pivotal moments that gave me something really worth fighting for. Like, he was 5 weeks old when I got burnt. I was actually his first word for 6 weeks before he said mum or dad. Now I can hold all three of my nephews at once and squat. And I've had the privilege of being alive to see a nephew and a niece being born. After dying three times, getting cancer, I've had every medical problem you could possibly have along this journey. And it's still a really hard photo for me to look at. Just because I remember it. I can look at that and I remember being in that moment, and not just the loss of like not being able to hold him, but the loss of my life. I was mourning everything.
Because you know what? You're not crying in any other photo. That's what's
and
amazing.
I'm never crying in any photo. No. I never cry. And, you know, I used to have this dream for the first 6 months every night And this was also one of the hardest things. And because it's really hard to explain this, but I'll just do my best.
Yeah.
I had this dream every night for 6 months, and I dreamed I was standing in this nightclub, which looked like the most spectacular nightclub, like I was somewhere really fancy in Vegas, and I was on these stairs and had gold trimmings like this, and the railing was gold and the stairs had gold trimming, and I was standing at the top with my big blonde hair and a big little mini pink dress on, but big stiletto pink pumps, and I looked exactly like Dana. And that's how I dressed before and looked before. And I swear that, because you're so like drugged up from all the medication, and I swear that dream seemed so real. And I dreamed that every night, and this is no joke. Every day I'd wake up and I forgot that I was burnt. And I'd wake up to realize that I was actually living a nightmare. I've never even dreamed anything so horrific or seen anything so bad as I have lived. And I wake up and realize that I was living a nightmare, and I genuinely forgot every day that I woke up and I was burnt, and that was fucked. And I used to wake up crying all the time. Other than that, and a few other occasions, I never cried. And when I did cry, my sister would go, "Hey, you've got 5 minutes to cry, and that's it. That's it. Get it out." And eventually I just stopped crying. What was the point? I don't cry for physical pain. I'm like a badass motherfucker when it comes to pain. Like I am gangster. But when it comes like emotional pain, I really don't cry so much for it anymore, but that's the pain I can't.
I just can't imagine having some, you know, this wasn't an accident. It wasn't unlucky. Someone did this to you.
Yeah. And it wasn't that. It was a waste of life. Her life, my life, my family's life, the justice system, the emergency, like the taxpayers' money, the hospital system. Like it was just all for nothing. And that's the most disgusting part. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's shit, but like I'm not glad it happened to me, but I'd rather it me than ask someone else. Like most people, mm-hmm. A, don't survive it, and B, they do take their own lives. It is so hard. And I've made now one of the biggest transformations on the planet, and that's for me like winning the gold in the Olympics. And I worked so hard, I sacrificed a lot, and I missed out on a lot to get where I am now. But in doing so, I have helped so many other survivors. I've been at the forefront of so much technology. I've been able to bring in technology, and not only that, raise so much money to
really,
yeah,
tell us about that.
And also part proceeds of all my book goes to the Fiona Woods Burns Research Foundation. So it's like, I'll tell you a bit about that. Okay, so there was a laser that I basically, you know, the hospital gave me up to here, and I'm pointing high,
mm-hmm.
with everything I could do for myself and work. But I worked to heaven's gates every day. I worked above and beyond, and part of not just working physically, it was like empowering myself, me and my sister and all my friends. I read to like my eyes feel like they're going to bleed about research and technology and techniques. I did things that weren't even relative to burns, and I gave it a whirl. At the end of the day, I know that I'm always going to be scarred, but to what extent is up to me. Mm-hmm. And I've accepted my scars, but I wouldn't be able to accept the way I look if I had that mentality of like, oh, I wish I had done this. I wish I'd done that. Like I gave everything a red hot crack.
Yeah.
If it didn't work, it didn't work, but at least I know I tried. So I was reading about this laser that was in the military that had been only in America, and China had invented it, and it hadn't been available anywhere else. And my sister and I had got in contact with the maker of the laser. Anyway, basically, long story short, my story went global. So they had known who I was, and we exchanged emails back and forth, and we kind of got into negotiations about possibly bringing a laser over. But I went to my surgeons about it, and Fiona Wood is one of the main surgeons of – she's won Australian Woman of the Year Award. She actually invented spray on skin, so she's like a god in the industry.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And so I went to her and my physio and some of my other surgeons, and they said, you know, don't believe everything you read. I said, guys, I've done 2 degrees. I'm not a dickhead. Like, give me some credit here. And so I forwarded over to – this is my little plan of attack. I forwarded it to my physio first, and then the next day he came to me and said, we've actually been trying to get this for 2 years, but we can't afford it. I said, So my brain, like, ticked over a little bit. And so then we went back to the laser people and basically ended up getting a negotiation. If we could get the laser, they would pay for the laser to come in. If Fiona Wood and, Suzanne – Right, my professors would do research on it and publish it, because they're such gods in the industry, like everyone would win. The laser was such high grade that it took 5 months for them to get training and get a special laser proof room in the hospital. Got in, I was the first person to try it. And and then the day that I found out I had cancer, which was a year and a bit later, I went to go film this news thing to raise money for it. And my mum, I remember my mum and sister were saying, you don't need to go to do that because I was so broken. Because at this stage, I didn't know how deep, far into my cancer I was and et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, no, I have to do this. And anyway, long story short, I've ended up raising enough money. We have it now at the Children's Hospital and the new Fiona Stanley Hospital. And it's in nearly every single hospital in Australia.
Wow.
And all the burn survivors.
And it is good? It did have a good effect?
It's amazing, but okay. It's not the be-all, end-all.
Okay, but it helps.
Of course it helps, yes. Yeah. Every bit helps. Everything you can do helps, but helps.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, it hurts. I go under for it. It's the highest grade laser in the world.
Right. So, I don't know much about lasers except laser hair removal.
I am a laser beam.
Yeah,
I swear
right.
I have tried every laser, everything. I could be a laser.
Okay, so yeah. And the purpose of it is the scarring, to try and help the scarring.
Well, a scarring, but essentially it burns you. So the laser burns you, burns lots of holes into your skin, so to help create collagen and stuff like that. So not just scarring, it helps to release and it helps with the height and the pigment and the colour. And so, you know, they hope that you get enough scarring sessions. You can even, if you need a huge release, it like limits the release of how much you need. You could even get a little bit of a less release.
Yeah.
That's bad English, but yeah.
Coming up on Australian True Crime, Donna tells us what she learned about her attacker during the trial. Dana Voolan was set on fire by a stranger 6 years ago. She'll spend the rest of her life dealing with the repercussions of that attack. And I asked Dana about scarring.
Can you tell me about the effects of scarring? Like, as in, it makes the skin tight, doesn't it? And like...
Beyond tight.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process, right?
Yeah, and it's so weird. Like when I first got grafted and burnt, I actually so stupidly thought I was going to be a miracle case because, and they warn you, and I Googled it and I looked high and low to see like what scarring could be like. But I didn't end up knowing that I'd have some of the worst scarring in the world. On the Vancouver scale, I have been categorised at the highest end of the worst category of pigment, height and density. I've had my chest replaced 3 times, like, here. And I thought I was going to be okay, but it was one of those things that, like...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Scars just keep developing and developing and developing. And mine were developing for 2 years. And it froze up so much that I was stuck like my chest was fused to my chest and my arms. And
I see that photo of you, and I didn't understand why that was. Yes, that your chin is really pointing down close to your chest.
Oh, yeah, I'm fusing. I'm morphing into, like, I used to say, like a little satay peanut, but I had little chicken wing arms, so it took me one
it
half
tightens
years.
Tightens up.
Yeah, it took me 1.5 years to touch my face. I'm like,
oh, my God. So how do you loosen that skin again? Like, yeah, do you have to grow more skin?
No, I've had just grafts and grafts and grafts and grafts and physio and surgery and surgery and physio, physio and physio. You work, and you have operations.
Mm.
You can't loosen it. You have no elasticity. Like, there's no collagen. I don't have skin. I have scar. Does that make sense? Like, it's literally just a layer. I don't have pores or anything like that. It's just a layer over the top of my organs.
Wow.
Yeah.
And will that always be the case?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a stupid question. But, yeah, okay, that you're just showing me your arm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's all skin from your lower body?
Like that. Yeah, all skin from my lower body. That's from my groin. No, my hips. The releases, hip.
Releases, is that what's put in there to help you stretch out again?
Mm-hmm. But this is all grafted from my legs.
Uh-huh.
And my hair was stuck like that for years and years and years.
God, how do you believe that you're going to be okay again?
And that's beautiful now in comparison to what it was.
Beautiful because you have full movement again, right?
Yeah, after telling me I'd probably never hold a pen again.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. How do you stay positive and that when your body's tightening up and getting...
It's hard to stay positive, but this was it. Like, I had chosen to live. I think life's about making decisions and sticking to them. So why would I, lots of people live without, are alive without living. So I chose to be alive and live.
Yep.
So I didn't know that I was going to be able to move or have my life back as much as I do now. I really didn't. And I had researched and I hadn't, logically I didn't believe it, but my heart didn't want to let me give up hope.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but I did know that I wanted to live and I wanted to be alive and I was young and I had the rest of my life in front of me. So why not try? Like, yeah, I wanted to live and be alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tried, I guess.
Just kept trying.
Yeah, I owed it to my family and my friends and the system and the hospital and everyone who worked so hard for me. It's like, how dare I not fight for them who fought for me, and how dare I not show my appreciation and respect. And, you know, there's a little element there that's success is my best revenge.
Yeah.
I was burnt from my face, so to look like Dinah again. And this is only the beginning. Like, I will continue to recover.
Mm.
And now it's more so that, and that was like my initial drive, but it's like I have such an allegiance of followers and burn survivors around the world who look to me as that transformation. When I first got burnt, and you see the befores and afters in my book, when I first got burnt, I searched high and low to see before and after like mine, and I couldn't even find anyone that was as badly disfigured at that stage as I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't even look human. I looked like a monster. Like, I didn't look recognizable. And so I was looking everywhere and for any glimpse of hope, and I really didn't find much of anything, especially to the caliber that I wanted to recover at. So I felt, that's why I post all my and share all that stuff on social media, my befores and afters. I am it. What I was looking for, and now I've been it for so many people, and it's like when you have no hope, you give up on life because you think there's no, what's the point, like you've got no hope. But like, and I would have been forgiven for having no, I would have been forgiven for giving up and being bitter. But like the fact that I've given so many people hope when it was the darkest, darkest time. And, you know, most survivors like, you know, my burns aren't that bad, but I can't believe if you could do it, I can do it. And just like, and not even that, like being proud of my body, the amount of people around the world that send me selfies of them showing their scars. And like, I used to be so ashamed because I always say I love the skin. I mean, like, I'm going to make scars sexy and like make this my bitch. And I quite actually like my body. I think it's very unique, and I'm unique, and I'm like crazy and wild on the inside. Now my body's crazy and wild, so I think it kind of matches. The world has plenty of beautiful blondes now. What it needs is more beautiful minds and beautiful hearts. And so I've inspired so many people, like, who don't have never showed their scars, and they send me selfies like, I'm just gonna rock my scars out and make scars sexy. And just like, I get them from men and women all around the world who never used to show their scars, but like are now totally embracing it. And, you know, we're living in a time where, A, everyone's tattooed from head to toe, and, B, you know what scarification is?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like what they're saying is the new tattoos. Yeah. So people get, like, scars in the shape of tattoos to look like. I just say I'm ahead of time. Like, people are all behind me. I'm way ahead of everyone
else. I see, like, they're battle scars. I mean, you – they're like monuments to how tough you are, your
scars. Yeah, that's exactly it. Don't look at me and go like, boo-hoo, look at me and go like, I'm a badass bitch.
I do look at you and think you're a badass bitch. Yeah. I really do. I look at this cover of you with your beautiful face and stunning makeup, and I love makeup.
I did my own makeup.
Oh, my God, I love makeup so much. And so that's what I see, and your stunning blonde hair. And I do think, well, that is one badass bitch. But you know what? What you refer to looking like Dana instead of looking like me. Like you never say, and now I feel like me, or I felt like me. You say I felt like Dana.
I've always felt like me, but I think I say I refer to looking like Dana because I've made such a big recovery. I never wanted to recover and get like go overboard to look like Jocelyn Catwoman or look like someone else ever. I never wanted to be like, I don't even want to look plastic. Like I looked plastic before I got burnt when I never even had anything done because I remember when I was 18, someone came up to my girlfriend and goes, tell your Barbie doll friend to stop having so much plastic surgery. I was like, I have never had anything done. I've never had a dot of Botox. So like at that stage.
Yeah.
Okay, things have changed now.
Sure.
But
you were natural.
Like, yeah. And wow. So it was one of those things that I never wanted to recover to look like someone else, like Jocelyn Catwoman or Pamela or anyone. I wanted to look like Dana. It's my God-given birthright to have my face, and I wanted my face back. And that's why I fought. That's why I worked. So I had to look like Dana, and that's what I was trying to say. I don't put filters up or anything like that anymore because it's just like it's not real, and I work so hard to look real, and that's a raw image. And we're living in a time of 2017 where everyone's filtered or airbrushed, and it's like – make me look a certain way. So I wanted it to be Dana, not someone else. That's why I say I want to look like Dana.
Isn't that incredible? All those perfect 16-year-old girls who filter the fuck out of themselves is the expression.
Yeah.
You know? And you, badass bitch, with your scars unfiltered, unphotoshopped. What a message.
Thank you. And I think it's one of those things I really reckon that soon filters will be uncool.
Yeah.
Because they're like, they've been thrashed. Everyone's doing them. They're overboard. Everyone's doing different styles. And it's just like, some of my friends use filters. And one in particular, she knows who she is because I always tell her, she's so much prettier without a filter. And I'm not even being funny because she's my friend. She's like a porcelain doll. She's perfect skin. And she uses filters where she actually looks like it's blurry, like she was drunk and took the photo. And I'm like, that's too much. People get over it. It's like false advertising. But I actually think that filters are going to become uncool soon.
Yeah. Well, you're helping.
Oh, thanks.
Do you look like Dana when you look in the mirror?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Awesome. How long did that take? I mean, was that immediate? Do you look in the mirror and see Dana's eyes know that that's you?
I always saw my eyes, and I think because I always knew it was me.
Yes.
But no, I looked. It was a huge disconnect too.
Yeah.
Because I was 25, so I had like my whole life looking a certain way.
Yep.
And then I felt a certain way inside, but I had a huge disconnect to how I look. It's very weird.
Mm-hmm.
The psyche behind it is crazy, but I always felt like me and my personality, my vulgar sense of humor, which you pick up in the book, I'm like crazy. But that was always there, so that made me kind of feel like me. It's very, you know, like honestly, I'm going to give myself props right now because that's the biggest thing for me is that, like, I never had an antidepressant. Mm. I was able to remain who I am and my sense of humor, my personality, when I didn't look like myself. I didn't have any – I was a complete invalid. And it's not only to not look like yourself and have no movement, but it's – I didn't do anything that I did before. I lived in the hospital for years and years. I literally wore that mask and come up for 3 years. I couldn't even go to a restaurant. I went to the hospital and home. So there's nothing, not one element of my life that was – normal or like it was before. So I would have been forgiven for losing myself, but I didn't, and that's what's cool. But looking in the mirror now, I mean, even when I did my reveal on Channel 7, that was like a real rigidity, real life, real first time I took my mask off.
Really?
I did it in front of everyone. Yeah. And I remember watching the reveal back and I was so sad because I thought I still looked like a monster. But although at the time I was still proud because, fuck, I'd come so far. So far, and I was proud, and I did the catwalk, and I genuinely was proud, but I still didn't feel attractive. I felt attractive. I didn't feel like I looked like Dana. This is going back to that Dana thing we're talking about. But now, especially in the last, like, because as my releases are all selling and, like, my jaw structure, this is all my jaw structure, my face structure that was already there. That's all coming back.
Yeah.
And I look at my face, and like, now I look like Dana. Like, I'm starting to really look like Dana. And I sometimes catch myself, I'm like, that's Dana again, except, you know, like I'm like I guess you got to look at the pros as well. Like, I will never wrinkle. So as everyone ages, I'm going to get more and more porcelain and more tight because that's the progress of my scars.
Wow.
So like everyone's going to age and get old and wrinkly, but like that's the one pro. And you got to look at the pros
you
everywhere
sure
you can.
Do.
You
got to take
everything you can.
Yeah.
So I will never age. I'll just look more and more porcelain and tight. So I guess the scarring process helps with
that's incredible.
Looking youthful.
And yeah, you totally do look like Dana, by the way. When I looked
Thank
at
you.
The photos and I saw the one of you before the attack.
That's a bad photo of me, but it was like a group family photo. I was young. But
yeah, but yeah. No, I had to check and go, was this before? Like, because you look like Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
thank
totally
you.
Look like Dana. I hate to say this, but we need to talk about the perpetrator.
That's fine.
Is that okay?
That is so fine.
What is this person's story? Did you get some justice about all of this? What happened?
So, I mean, I got justice legally, but I can't tell you this person's story. I can tell you that she got a 17-year prison sentence.
Wow.
Which is very good for Australia. However, I don't think it's adequate, but I'm very happy the justice system did a really good job. It was a 9-day trial, basically 8 days of evidence that rained on her, like chemical specialist, forensic, CCTV, the Vodafone specialist of Australia, random eyewitnesses.
To talk about the stalking and that had gone on before.
Yeah, all the Vodafone specialist and all the calls and like it was an unbelievable amount of evidence that rained on her.
So she pled not guilty, did she?
Well, yeah, it gets even better. Pled not guilty. First of all, she says she didn't even know me or see me there. And then she left the methylated spirits bottle at my house with her fingerprints on it. It's like leaving the gun at the scene of the crime, like. So stupid.
Yeah. Well, she was a crack addict, right? She smoked crack in your apartment.
Yeah,
in front
and she
of
smoked
you.
Crack all night coming up to my house, coming like stalking me. She'd come to my house 3 times that night.
Yeah.
And then waited for, I had company and waited for that person to leave and then came. It was really erratic behavior. And then, so it was 9 days of evidence that rained on her and she pled not guilty. First, she said she didn't even know me or like hadn't heard the story or anything like that. This is after she'd been apprehended at the airport, by the way, trying to catch a one-way flight to leave the country without her child, without luggage. They're looking for a blonde. She colored her hair brown before that on the news. Yeah. And her entire defense against days and days and days of like hard evidence was her on the stand, not a single shred of evidence, not a single piece of paper, not a single witness, nothing. Her against 9 days that rained on her.
Of her just going, nah.
And she just lied and lied and lied. It was just, yeah,
So have you ever heard from her? I know that's a weird question, but I wonder if a person goes to jail, has a think about themselves.
No, the closest that I got to hearing from her was an appeal on the sentence on the grounds that I basically exaggerated my injuries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And in court, in the sentencing, the judge says she has to write a letter and he says the whole entire letter is about how this has impacted you and your life. He said it's supposed to be like a remorse letter or whatever, like to this letter she has put in for sentencing. So the judge looks over and he goes, the entire letter is about you and how it's affected you and your life. He said that you've dedicated a line, actually half a line to how this has affected Dana, half a line, and that's the rest amazing. Is about you. It just goes to show your thought process and everything about you is about you.
Wow.
And so, no, I haven't heard from her. The closest thing I got to hearing from her is an appeal that I basically exaggerated my injuries, which was disgusting.
Are you fearful about her getting out of jail?
No.
You don't think about that?
I mean, I've thought about it, but I'm not fearful, no. Mm-hmm. I know that might sound crazy to people.
No, not necessarily, because I think it was such a crazy set of circumstances that there's no, you didn't do anything to her.
No,
so there's no reason why you should be fearful of her, have ever been fearful of her.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, like, I'm not even fearful of, like, fire. People think, oh, my God, he's scared of fire.
Really?
Because, again, it's one of those extreme things. Like, I have more of a chance of being hurt, burnt by hair straightener or by the stove or actual fire. I have more of a chance of being shot, stabbed, glassied, hit by a car. Anything. I've been hit by a car before, actually.
Oh, wow.
But wow. More of a chance of any of that happening than I do of being just a methylated spirits and set on fire again. So I don't want to live in, like, fear of, like, it's such a rare, extreme thing that it was an accidental. So I guess I don't, in my mind, I don't have a pent-up fear of fire. Like,
no.
I remember I went to this burns camp, like, 5 months into my journey, and it was the middle of the night. It was in the sticks and it was cold as fuck. And so everyone was sleeping and the fire had died out. And so I'd made a fire. And in the morning, in the morning, everyone was like, who made that fire last night? And I was like, it was me. And then everyone clapped. And I was like, what's happening? And then I started clapping. I was like, why are we clapping? And I was clapping my hands were my version of clapping, but mutated clapping. I was clapping. And I was like looking around at like, what are we clapping at? And then I was like, that's so brave. And I was like, oh my God, they're clapping at me. Like,
yes.
No, I was like, no. And then I realized at that stage that people thought that I had a fear of fire. Like I didn't even think of having a fear of fire before that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't even cross my mind because it's just such a rare thing. So, yeah, I hadn't even thought about being scared of fire.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What sort of internal injuries does happen when somebody sets you on fire and you burn like that? I mean...
Well, obviously, constant infections, and I've had lots and lots of abscesses, but 2 years in, I got cervical cancer. And cervical cancer is the only cancer that is isolated in terms of you're at higher risk if you have constant infection and a massive blow to the immune system, like a really low immune system. And that basically is essentially all the burn is as well. And so they think there's a really good chance that I got cancer as a result of my burn. And so, yeah, I've had maybe like 5 operations now for my cancer. And then I got it cut out after I had the lip loop, and then like that didn't work. And then actually having the, because I wouldn't have survived chemo on that, then having the actual cancer cut out. And then after I had the cancer cut out, my body just went through such overdrive that I got 12 abscesses and I was rushed to emergency. I had a full system shut down. And so then whilst I was still recovering from having my cancer cut out, my cervix completely closed over in scar. So I had to have surgery on that as well afterwards because I just couldn't cope. Like,
it's your immune system. That's right. I'd forgotten about that with terrible burns, but that it's such an
that's immune why most system. People die in the infection. Like, you're just exposed. All the nerve, like, every whole, you're just like an open jelly of flesh. And...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. How much more do you have ahead of you in terms of operations?
I'll have a lifetime of surgeries.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm having a year off now. I'm having a year off, but back into it next year.
Dana's written a book about her life. It's called Worth Fighting For, and it's just been released. I asked her if it made her feel vulnerable knowing the book is out there.
I think I'm okay with whatever anyone thinks anyway. Even though I'm getting great feedback, I'm okay with it because I've been true to myself.
Yeah.
I would have been really pissed off if I brushed over who I was and made it like really typical and then it wasn't liked.
Yes.
But the fact that it's my own voice and people don't like it, then I don't really like that way. I'm like, oh, I agree. It's me. What do? You have your own opinion. You're entitled to it.
Yeah. It's unreal. Thank you so much. I know that I will have so many more questions the more I think about it and read about it. And are you on Facebook and stuff like that?
I am. I have a Facebook page, We Heart Dana Vullen, and I have – it was made for me. But,
no,
you know,
I do
it's a
hate
fan
you.
Page.
I'm not bad at that. That's great.
Oh, cute. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I have Instagram and I have a web page.
Awesome.
We'll
put all those links on our Facebook page too because I feel like I want to – stay in touch with you. I want to keep following your journey. I want to keep feeling inspired by you. I just could not have met you on a better day, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, it's so trivial, but I just found out my ex-husband's got a girlfriend.
No, it's not trivial. Fuck that.
Right? Fuck that. And I'm just feeling like so down in the dumps and fucked off. And
yeah, I would be fucked off too.
So reading your book and meeting you, I mean, I'm not trivialising, oh, you've inspired me in my, you know.
No, but like,
you know
the
I mean?
Energy and shit, totally.
It's your energy. It's your badass bitch energy that's just made me feel like, yes, I just feel, it's so great to spend an hour with a fabulous woman and... You've given me the kick in the ass that your sister gave you every time you wanted to cry.
Oh, thanks. And you know what else? You can go out and get like 10 boyfriends, so don't worry about it.
Thank you. I don't feel like I can at the moment, but thank you. You're very
kind. No, you
can.
You can. And they'd be like, guess what? I have 10 boyfriends. You have one girlfriend.
You're the best. I'm going to keep tabs on you. I do heart you, Dana.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. Dana's book is called Worth Fighting For, and it is available right now. We'll put some links on our Australian True Crime Facebook page for Dana's website and social media. Thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime, and thank you to everyone who's given us great reviews on iTunes.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.